Today is the day of Pentecost. Today we are celebrating a great festival, the day when Christ filled the church with the power of his Spirit and sent us out into the world to bring his peace, his joy, and his forgiveness to all people. Pentecost is a sign to us who believe, a sign pointing to a number of things that are true. First, Pentecost is a sign that the Lord's Spirit fills the whole world. Then, Pentecost is a sign that it is the Spirit of God that gives the universe its unity. And deeper still, Pentecost is a sign that God's love is made known to us by his Spirit being poured into our hearts, into us personally. Pentecost is a sign of these truths. But the most surprising truth of all, though, is that the Spirit of God chooses to rely on ordinary people like you and me to bring that knowledge, that unity, that presence, and that peace to the world. And the Spirit of God within each one of us gives us the courage to do that. And Pentecost is a sign of that most astonishing truth as well. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, God's task for us would be impossible, just as it would have been impossible for the apostles unless Jesus had given them the gift of the Spirit, to give them the courage to change them, to change the pattern of their lives. The Spirit does not come to all of us in the same way. Some of us need to feel the force of the rushing mighty wind. Others need to feel the sweet and gentle breath of the Lord breathing softly on us. That's why in the liturgy for Pentecost, in all the churches that share our common lectionary today, we have two different pictures of Pentecost. In the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we read one account of how they were filled with the Holy Spirit in that famous and startling story of the Holy Spirit coming to them as a rushing mighty wind and in tongues of flame. But in St. John, in the Gospel which we heard just now, there is a quieter picture of Christ appearing to them, saying, "Peace be with you," and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The breath of God is given to them peacefully, and so is his power. Now, don't ask me if Pentecost happened twice. I don't know. I suspect not. I suspect that it was the same event in the same upper room. I suspect it happened once, but it affected people in different ways. What I do know is this. What started that day never stopped. Every day since that day, including this day, is the day of Pentecost, the day the Spirit descended on God's people. It never stopped. It is happening here and now. But what exactly never stopped? How am I, after 40-odd years of trying, actually going to talk to you and convince you that the Spirit has come here to you, that the Spirit is real, that the Spirit at this very moment dwells in your hearts richly and is the major power for goodness in your life? When I was young, it seemed to me that there were fierce words to condemn me if I got the Holy Spirit wrong, if I failed to recognize that the Holy Spirit was actually God and not just some vague, ghostly, insubstantial presence. During tedious sermons when I was a boy, I had leafed through the Book of Common Prayer and found the Athanasian Creed, which threatened me with unpleasant consequences if I didn't believe in the full Godhead of the Holy Spirit. And when I was a little older, in the youth discussion group, the Provost of Guildford encouraged us to discuss things like what it meant if you blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, and all that was very scary. At the end of it all, I hardly even dared mention the Holy Spirit, just in case. Then later, there were friends of mine at college who persuaded me to visit churches the like of which I had never been to before. These people in these churches weren't scared of the Holy Spirit, not on your life, but they scared me. The way they issued orders to God, reminding God loudly of what he had promised in the small print of the Bible, and ordering them to send God's Spirit down to help with someone's travel arrangements, or to deal with something that surely I thought they should have taken to the doctor. This all needed serious study, which began then and isn't finished yet. Now, after all these years, I'm pretty sure I haven't got it all. And I am equally sure that many of you could profitably stand where I am, sharing your insight and deepening all our understanding. But the one thing that the Spirit does is to lead us into all the truth. So that means that we are a work in progress. You are a work in progress. We are working towards the truth. But for what it's worth, this is how I understand it. I think I understand that this is about God being a parent, wanting to be hands-on as he watches his child, that's us, watching his child grow, but not wanting to get in the way. God is the ideal parent, not taking control of his child's life, but being there as a subtle influence as the child grows to maturity. But you've brought up children, many of you, as we have, and from where we stand, of course, like any growing child, we find it quite easy to ignore or tune out a subtle influence. It's like you're driving along, tuned in to BBC Radio Sussex, half listening for the traffic reports to help you along life's motorway, but when you get just past Gatwick, you suddenly go out of range of the station. The music and the accompanying chatter stops. Now what am I going to do, you wonder aloud. I wasn't aware that I was enjoying that, but now all I've got is static. Therefore, we have to set about opening the communications channel again. God has not stopped and never will stop trying to get in touch with us. It's our end that's the problem. St. Paul once wrote, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Setting the mind on the flesh is death, but setting the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Today is the Holy Spirit's festival, so it is appropriate that we should remind ourselves to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. When the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, of course, it was a time of great wonder and excitement, of new understanding and a new closeness to God. But what work is the Spirit doing for us today? As I've been saying, the Spirit is among us as a go-between. The Spirit helped the disciples to communicate with people from many different communities in the early days of the Christian church. And today, the same Spirit does the same job for us in our walks of life. Helps us when we speak to one another about faith, and is there to help us when we wish to pray to God. One inevitable question surfaces when people are discussing prayer. It goes something like this: if God knows what we need even before we ask, why ask? Why ask God for something in prayer that he would give us anyway? Since God knows all our needs, why do we have to be involved in the process of praying? Perhaps we need to look at the question a little differently. Perhaps the story about losing the signal from our local radio station has something to teach us. Could it be that God answers our prayer and we just don't hear it? Could it be that God works in our lives and we just don't see it because for some reason our broadband isn't quite broad enough and the data from God has dropped out? Could it be that when we do get around to praying for something, we actually start tuning in to the work of the Spirit more closely because we become more aware of the things that the Spirit is doing? It's all about noticing what's there. When I bought my new car in January, I suddenly noticed how many people around here are driving the same model, and I'd never noticed it before. Could it be that when we set our minds on the Spirit, we start seeing the things that the Spirit is doing, which we hadn't noticed before? Could it be we start seeing God more closely and more often? Could it be possible that God has been answering our prayers all along and we just haven't noticed it? What if the issue isn't whether God answers prayer, but that we aren't aware of the work of the Spirit? What if the question is not how much God loves us, but how often we take notice of God's love? Those scary stories about the Holy Spirit from my youth are just that. Interference, static, blue screen. The Spirit of God is all love and nothing else. And the Spirit is the source of life and peace, life in all its fullness, and the peace of God, which is deeper than we can understand. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace, writes the Apostle Paul. Like listening to your favorite radio station or accessing your favorite channel on YouTube, life is just a lot more enjoyable and meaningful if we are listening to God and can hear the messages that God ceaselessly sends to us throughout our lives. Life will be clearer and more purposeful as we attune ourselves to the life and love of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to stay. The Spirit is still with us today. As the Spirit of God renewed the apostles on the day of Pentecost, so he renews his church today. He fills us with his light and fire. He gives energy to our lives as he dwells within us. He brings home to us the presence of the risen Christ. He opens our eyes to his presence in the church, in the Eucharist and in the Scriptures, and also in the wider world. He is the source of our courage when we speak plainly about our beliefs. He is the one who has power to sweep away our misgivings and set us free for the service of Christ. So may we rely on that power to strengthen and deepen our faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.